this morning? Now, I just might as well warn you that the second hour, I'm not going to be able to teach because we're going to do the camp. So if I get going here, we may not finish till about 11 o'clock, and then I'll turn it over to them. But, I can't do that. Okay. All right. Well, let's begin with the word of prayer. The camp was really, really good. And I'll be anxious to see the pictures and different things that they'll be having to say to us. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. It's just amazing when you think about prayer. I want you to always remember, when you think about prayer, the Son of God, perfect man, no sin, always in prayer. Always got a way to pray. Go a way to pray. The greatest prayer in the Bible is by him a few hours before the crucifixion, John 17. So prayer was very important to Jesus Christ, who is perfection. So we can only imagine our dependency upon the power of prayer and what it can accomplish. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of this prayer is test yourself. See if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, to put it in simple terms, the world is a mess. Your love is powerful enough to transform these things and will at the beginning of the millennium. But right now, Heavenly Father, you have given to us the responsibility of demonstrating your love to the world. You've given us the means of doing this, the power to do this, and a command. So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things that you would have us to see and to understand about the mission that is set before us. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen. Good morning, Lila. Yes. It was at Camp Levon over, it's Princeton, Wiley, and over here is this big lake, Lake Levon.
So it's called Lake Levon.
It is Lake Levon, okay. Yeah. You got to go across Lake Levon and then into the camp area. Yeah. It's an unbelievable setup. There's the big lake over here, but as far as all the water activity that the campers do, they've got this large, big, man-made type lake. And I would say, without over-exaggerating, maybe 75 yards this way and about 7,500 yards this way deep. And on one side, they've got two of the blobs. The kids love the blob. Blob is where, bigger thing, you go sit out here, somebody jumps, and boom, throws you into the water. They have two of those. And they have a big water slide with water coming down on it. I'd say it's at least 40 yards long, maybe longer. And is there? Wow, I didn't know that. I've gone over. Is it armadillo? All right, but it was really, really good. They took care of the eating, so we didn't have to do that. And it was just large enough, I would think, 1,000 people, because they had two campers at the same time. We were there on another campus there. but it was just so organized that they never got the kids mixed up. And they one half, you know, you can eat here and eat here. What that each cafeteria probably would seat 1,000, maybe 800, and food was good, and the chapel area was really nice. Thing about it was air conditioned, and but it was set up really good, and it just had just about everything you'd need for a good camp. I was just walking around the afternoon, and I walked into this one room in a big banquet hall building, and there was a really nice big weight room. I mean, they had all the different machines and weights, free weights, machines, everything. So it was well equipped. There are people that live on it, so it was a permanent type of home for some. And yeah, I would imagine them, and maybe, I don't know, but there were a lot of houses scattered in other places. I'm assuming they're caretakers or something. And but it was really, really nice. Yes. Let's see here what we got here. Okay. Well, where you got the that is that an A right? No, right down here with the green, right there. Yeah, that looks like it. Yeah, because okay, you come across that bridge. Come across the bridge there, right there. Come down, and then you drive into the park area. Yeah, that's it. Watch Chris Daigle come in and say, "That's not it. It's over here." But anyway, it looks like it's it to me. Okay, we're getting ready. I think next Sunday we're going to be going into 1 Corinthians 13. So this is our last kind of introduction to getting back to 13. But we are in Galatians chapter 5. We left off last week in Galatians chapter 5. So if you'll open the Word of God to Galatians chapter 5. And we kind of closed last week with a very important and I think a pivotal statement by James Gretchen Machen. Love, according to the New Testament, is not the means of salvation, but it is the finest fruit of it. A man is saved by faith, not by love, but he is saved by faith in order that he may love. And I think Machen worded it so well that we're not saved by loving Christ, we're saved by faith. But the greatest manifestation is when we can love as he loved. And that continues now, this morning, in Galatians 5, 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. So in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, you recall, in closing last week, I told you, those are performance systems. Circumcision is a performance system. Uncircumcision is a performance system. Any performance system that kind of covers anything you want. Ritual systems, water baptism, whatever your list may be. Going to church, being good, giving money, all these kind of things. Those are all performance systems. So he says, performance system, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. That's a good translation. But faith working through love, that's the great issue. Faith working through love. The pistis, the faith, not meritorious, system of perception. Not active, but passive. And by that I mean, that faith receives from God. It doesn't give to God. It receives from God. We put faith in Him that we might receive salvation, imputation of righteousness, eternal life, all the 34 things that God does for us. That's what's involved with faith. Then we have the preposition dia, plus the genitive agape, through love. Then we have a present middle participle, ergon, translated work. But faith does not work. Faith is not active. Faith is passive. So what is Paul saying here with these two different concepts? The lexicon describing this word, to be at work, to operate or to be effective, to become effective. Faith means, faith by means of love becomes effective. So what we're saying is, you put your faith in the Holy Spirit, that becomes effective when He pours in that love through us. And people, as important as love is, we must always remember, we are not talking about human love. We are so impressed with human love. And why not? That's the only love, that's what we grow up with. That's what we're around 24 hours a day of our lives, all of our life. But human love accomplishes nothing in the plan of God. What we're talking about here is a supernatural love that only a believer can have. Only a believer filled with the Holy Spirit can have. So not every believer can have this love. A believer filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how we get by with just mediocrity in the Christian life. I like people to pray for the church and for themselves and for me. But I sure like to know that they know how to be filled with the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Because people, God doesn't answer just prayer. An unbeliever can pray, other than the prayer of salvation, faith in Christ. A carnal believer can pray. God isn't here. It goes no higher than the ceiling. But when we're empowered by the Holy Spirit takes that prayer to the Godhead and puts it before Him. And so, there's so much we need to understand about faith and about love. So, faith, by means of love, becomes effective. So you want your faith effective? You have that love flow through that, which means faith in the Holy Spirit. Faith does not work. Faith is not active. Faith does not do anything. Faith receives from God the work of God. So let's take up a few points here. One, faith by means of the work of Christ on the cross becomes effective for salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ, and because of the work of Christ on the cross, the faith becomes effective, effecting salvation in us. Faith is not effective for salvation. If your faith is in anything else, other than the person and work of Christ, Faith receives its effectiveness from the object. That's where faith receives its power. Not in itself, but from the object of it. I know it over the years, I've overworked it, but it's just to me so perfect. I have two chairs up here, and they both look good. One chair's made of paper, but it looks just as good as the one made of metal. So, you have all the faith in the world. You sit down in a paper chair, I'm sorry, you're going to hit the floor. It's not our faith. It's the object of our faith that is the great issue. So, this becomes the issue in our study. Point two. Faith, by means of the power of the Holy Spirit, becomes effective in spiritual love. So, faith Part one, faith in Jesus Christ affects the salvation. Faith in the Holy Spirit affects to spiritual love. Three, faith by means of power of the force of spiritual love becomes effective in your life. Becomes effective in your life. Phil, Pat, how y'all doing? Good. Good. If I wanted to be sarcastic, I'd say, "Now y'all got such a long drive." Oh! Very good. Okay. Point three. Faith, by means of the power and force of spiritual love, becomes effective in your life. You want your faith effective in your life? Who's your faith in? If your faith is in the Holy Spirit, He pours His spiritual love, it becomes effective in your life. That means in your marriage, in your single life, in your work, in your social life, in every area of your life. If you want an effective life, faith becomes effective if your faith is in the Holy Spirit and He pours in spiritual love. Four. Jesus Christ does the work on the cross. The Holy Spirit does the work in our lives. Spiritual love by the Holy Spirit works in our lives. They are appropriated. Salvation and spiritual love are appropriated by means of faith. This is all God wants for the creature. Simple faith. This has always been His way. Before man was ever on the scene, and He created what we know as the superior beings, angels, not man. I've often wondered, if angels had not rebelled, would man have even come about? I doubt it, but I'm not sure. But I don't think man would have come about, because we are here to resolve the angelic conflict. So if these superior creatures had maintained faith in God, there'd be no reason for having man. See? No reason at all. But they rebelled. They did not want to do that. Their leader, Lucifer, decided he was like God. He was as good as God. He was God. And so therefore, he proclaimed it. I am. I am means, and this is in Isaiah, I am means self-existent. When God said, I am, that means self-existent. No mother, no father, no creator. There. Always there. That's God. And Satan became so arrogant, I am. I am not relying on God for my existence. So he started the rebellion. So this is where the battle goes. And what's the heart of the battle? Faith. The absence of faith. Why the absence of faith? Arrogance. I am. I will be like God. The five I wills in Isaiah 14. I will ascend to the throne, build my throne with God. I'll be like God. I'll have the followers that He has. So arrogance led to no faith. And that's where man is today. Arrogance. Do not need faith in God as the Creator. It's all evolution. When you study just the physical, mechanical makeup of the human body, I don't see how anyone can deny God. The whole function. Just take the thyroid. My wife's been having thyroid problems. She shouldn't have a thyroid anymore. And so we've been reading and studying about it. It does everything. It's the heater. It's the cooler of our bodies. And to think that this just happened, it's just remarkable to me. You talk about faith, that to me is a leap of faith. to believe that that just happened. Evolutionary. So, faith is the battle. And what counters our faith is our arrogance. I don't need God. I don't need God tonight. I'll go sin. I'll do what I want to do. God isn't provided for me. I'll do what I want to do. So I'm not going to trust Him. And people, we can't be in denial. This is true of every one of us. Every time we sin, what we're saying is, I don't need you right now. Now, well, if we were honest, I don't need you right now, but hang close because I know I will when I get involved in what I'm getting ready to do. So I know I'm going to need you. But right now, I'm on my own. And I'll see what kind of mess I can get into, and then I'll cry help. See? So faith becomes the great battle. So point four, Jesus Christ does the work of the cross. The Holy Spirit does the work in our lives. They are appropriated to us by means of faith. Spiritual love does work as per all of the 16 impacts we're getting ready to embark upon in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is. And then we have 16 things that love is. Point six. What Scripture says, faith works through love. It means that by means of our faith, not through our doing, not through our works, energy of the flesh, but simply by means of faith, we allow the power of love to function inside of us. Galatians 5, 6. This is what it means. We are allowing, when we, by faith, we're allowing the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us. People, this is by faith. You're not going to feel any different. He doesn't move around, but He pours in this love when you trust Him. Pours in this love. Pours in patience, long-suffering, all these things we're going to be studying. That's what He does. But it's by means of faith. That is, it is by faith that love can produce the environment of 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to look at 16 impacts of spiritual love. They can all be produced in you by the Holy Spirit by means of faith. Not by your working at it. I remember years ago, I was doing my original work many years ago on spiritual love, and I don't even know where it was, but I read some church, big church, what they did. They actually wrote on the palm of their hand, on the backside of their hand, one of the 16 impacts. And that's what we're going to work on this week. They're studying Sunday, and we're going to work on it. We're going to work on being kind. See, we're going to work on long-suffering. Whatever each of these were. And it turned out to be a big mess. You can't do this in the flesh, people. You can't do it. I don't even know what kindness looks like until I'm on this side of it. That's all I can tell you. I have no idea. Because kindness is always different. I don't know what kindness needs at this moment. I don't know what kindness my own wife is going to need when I come in to the house or to the room. I don't know. God, the Holy Spirit knows. He knows her soul. He knows the condition. I don't. So I have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And then when I walk out of the room, that's what kindness is. That's what long-suffering is. That's what these things are. And we'll go through them. But we don't know. Don't try to manufacture them. Rely on the Holy Spirit to manufacture them. Be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You recall that study that we're getting we've already done two of these things. But I remind you, the subject in 1 Corinthians 13 is spiritual love. Not you. Not the believer. You are not long-suffering. It doesn't say that. It says love, spiritual love, is long-suffering. You are not kind. Spiritual love is kind. So if you want long-suffering and kindness and all the other 14 impacts and effects of spiritual love, you don't produce them. They're not you. They're the Holy Spirit. They're God. They imitate Jesus Christ. The same love that Christ gave is the same love that you and I give. There's no difference. He got it from the power of the Holy Spirit. We get it from the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not you and I that's these things. Please remember that when we get back. It is spiritual love that is these things. It is spiritual love that is kind. We are not the subject. Spiritual love is the subject of that study. So just remember that. Therefore, it is by means of faith that we allow love to work in us. It is by means of faith that we allow spiritual love to create an environment in our lives, in our homes. One of the most remarkable things, people, it doesn't take me very long to know I'm not in the power of the Holy Spirit. My nature is born, that flesh nature is going to reveal itself quickly. See? And it's ugly. Ugly. But I know immediately. Well, guess who's not in the Holy Spirit? You. See? So, this becomes a great issue. So, what we want to do is understand it is by means of faith that we allow love to work inside of us. It is by means of faith that we allow spiritual love to create an environment wherever we are. Whether we're at home, church, work, social, wherever we are. Spiritual love will create an environment. Not nastiness. Not little sarcastic puns. All these kind of things. No, it creates a wonderful environment. So, we have the cause of spiritual love, the Holy Spirit. The means of spiritual love is faith. Faith is the means of appropriating the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit. Same as appropriating the ministry of the first sending. That is of Jesus Christ. So by faith, we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to our lives. Faith is the means of allowing spiritual love to produce all of its descriptive impacts in our lives. It's by faith, people. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to any of these kind of things. All it takes is simple faith in the Holy Spirit. How are we going to receive the power of God? How are we going to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit? How are we going to receive the force of spiritual love? By means of faith. The same as your salvation. What God has done, ingeniously started us up on our journey, learning everything He's going to want us to do. How are you saved? By grace through faith. How are you filled with the Spirit? By grace through faith. How do you have spiritual love? By grace through faith. How do you learn the Word of God? By grace through faith. He set it up. It's just unbelievable. He didn't change the rules. You're not saved by grace through faith, now go to works. And go to works to produce this love. You have to work at it. You have to know lots of doctrine, and you have to work at this love. No, you don't. It's as easy as when you were saved. Saved eternally from the lake of fire, from hell to heaven, simply by faith. It's by grace. So everything in God's plan. So if anyone, pastor or anybody tells you, no, you got to do this. You got to do this to be filled with the Spirit. You got to do this to produce this love. You got to do this to be a good Christian. You got to do, you just shake your head. Don't argue with them, but shake your head. No. No. That's not how I was saved. God has already set the standard. He set the standard of coming into Him by grace through faith. That's all I'll ever want from you. All I'll ever want from you is your faith. Now, I got a command for you. Love one another as I've loved you. Oh, wow, boy, that's pretty big. No? How do you do it? By grace through faith. I give you the command. I'll give you the love. I'll give you the power for this love. I'll give you the means of this love. I do it all. This is an easy command. You come down to it. Not easy to always execute, because a lot of times we don't want to. We don't want to. By the way, thank you for your prayers. I made it through teaching forgiveness to the little kids and the older kids. I appreciate it. We had a good time. And I think it went very well. So I appreciate it. But it's the same principle that I told them and we're seeing right here. There are times you may not want to forgive. You just don't want to forgive them. And what your prayer is going to have to be, Father, I don't want to forgive them. Give me the desire to forgive them. And that's a bona fide prayer. They've hurt me. They've hurt someone in my life. I don't want to forgive them. Father, please, give me the desire to forgive them. I got that from Lewis Berry Chafer. Okay? Give me the desire to forgive. Give me the desire to love, in spiritual love. I don't want to love this person. They are not lovable. They do not deserve love. They deserve a good smack in the nose, this kind of thing. So give me the desire to love them. And I believe God answers that prayer. I agree with Schaefer. He will answer it. Now, why is salvation? This is so important right here. Why is salvation by grace through faith? Why is spirituality by grace through faith? Why is spiritual love by grace through faith? Look at Ephesians chapter 2 for the answer to that question. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at the end of verse 9. In order that, so that, no one may boast. Now go back to 8. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So, salvation is by grace through faith so that no one will boast. Spirituality is by grace through faith. You can't believe how hard-headed and I was at one time in my life. Oh, I've got to confess. I've got to do something. See, you hear me boasting. You hear the boast. I confessed. I did this. And then God responded to what I did. I confessed. And God responded and filled me with the Holy Spirit. No, He didn't. So, salvation by grace through faith, no one can boast in their salvation. Then He said, okay, now you're a believer, but you're carnal. Be filled with the Spirit by grace through faith. Why? So that no one will boast. There's no boasting that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I can't boast any more than anyone else. We're all filled with the Spirit the exact same way, by grace, through faith. Now we got so that no one will boast. No boasting. I confessed, I repented, I did this, I did that. No, it's out. I simply trusted. Now we come to spiritual love. Spiritual love flowing through us. Not because of anything I did. I trusted the Holy Spirit. See? So, somebody says, boy, you're really wonderful the way you love this person or that, you don't argue with them and say thank you, but well, you and I both know, no boasting. All I did was trust His Spirit. His Spirit produced that love in me. His Spirit produced kindness in me. His Spirit produced long-suffering in me. His Spirit kept me from arrogance, boasting. No boasting. No boasting even in the actual loving as Christ loved. So all the way through, God's plan is very simple. By grace through faith that no one can boast. By grace through faith that no one can boast. By grace through faith that no one can boast. You're saved in a spiritual and a spiritual love. By grace through faith. So that no one can boast. It's that simple. We're saved by the system of faith so that we cannot boast. And this is the way we live our entire Christian life. By means of faith so that no one can boast. We must come to the realization how pitiful we are. You've got God, you've got angels, and then we're way down here. Okay, you're above animals, if that makes you feel good. That helps you a little bit. But people, we're way beneath God, and we're way beneath angels. We're insignificant. Our boasting is silly. Our boasting is foolish. When you think about God, angels, and then here we are. We have nothing to boast about. See? So God set up a system where we circle over the angels and love as God loves. We go over the angels and are powered by the Holy Spirit. More powerful now than angels. It's a marvelous plan that He has by means of faith so that no one will boast. Saved by faith, this serves as a constant reminder. Always go back to your salvation. If someone says you got to do something to be spiritual, to have spiritual love, to live the Christian life, to be blessed of God, go back to your salvation. How was I saved? That set the standard. Don't ever leave that. That's how it all is going to happen. That's why God worked it that way. So you get it right from the beginning. Get it right from the beginning. This is how you're going to live your life, by grace through faith. In the flesh, you have nothing to offer me. I, as God, have everything to offer you, and I will offer it to you by grace through faith. Not by works. You have nothing to offer me. I'm God. I'm God. You have nothing to offer me but faith. The greatest glory we can give to God is not singing. And as much as I love prayer, not prayer, the greatest thing we can do for God is just trust Him. Father, I just trust You. I trust You for my salvation. I trust You for spirituality. I trust You for spiritual love. I just trust You. That's what I'm going to have to do. I got no other option but to trust You. You are God. I am a lowly human being. I have nothing to offer you but my faith. And God said, that's all I want. That's all I want. A loving parent does not want performance from their children. Oh, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. But as long as you give them your love, it was just amazing. When I was growing up, I was president of my class. I was the top actor in the drama department at our high school. All these kind of things. I'd go home, take out the garbage. Wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm the president. Mr. President, take out the garbage. All she cared about was that we loved her. We're part of her in this home. That's all she was impressed with. She was not impressed with anything we accomplished. She was impressed with our love in that home. How much more God? How much more God? We're going to have to offer God our measly advancement in some area of life. If it deals with education, He gave you the IQ. You're taking credit for something He gave you. That's not your IQ. He gave that to you. Oh, you're a great athlete. Well, who do you think gave you 6 feet and 7 inches? See? God. Everything we boast about. Well, you come down to it, it's from God. So we just offer Him these things by grace through faith. No grounds for boasting. So it is a spiritual love affecting your soul and your life. The environment of spiritual love. The environment that 1 Corinthians 13, that we're getting ready to go into next Sunday morning, creates in your life. God set up that this love would be produced in you by means of faith. Not by anything you and I do. So when we start going over these things, I want to hammer it home. You are not kind. You are not long-suffering. Spiritual love is kind. Father, I want to be kind. No. Father, I want your love to flow through me because your love is kind. And your love will be demonstrated to other people. And when they compliment me on my kindness, it's my opportunity to witness for you. What you've just seen is not my love. It's the love of my Savior. It's the love of my Christ. And you can have that same love. So this is the way that God has set it up. So, spiritual love produced in you by means of faith. No human merit in spiritual love. No human merit in loving as Christ loved. You wanted to be saved? What'd you do? You relax and rely totally on the work of Christ by faith. I feel so sorry for people that work for their salvation. They work for it. As I always like to point out in humor, they're going to be so depressed. They get to heaven and says, boy, you missed it by 3. You missed it by just 2. If you'd had 2 more good deeds, you'd have made it. See? How many do you have to do to be saved? If you're going to go by the numbers racket, if you're going to go by that stuff, how much do you have to do? How much do you have to give? You know, if you'd have just given $1 more, you'd be in. You missed heaven by $1. Because He's got to cut it somewhere. He's got to cut it somewhere. So, it's like grading papers. Teacher, they got to cut it somewhere. If you'd have done a little bit better, you'd have made a B instead of a C. But you didn't. So you got a C. So, God doesn't work on any kind of system like that. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on Him. So, you want to be saved? You relax and rely totally on the work of Christ the Savior. You receive salvation by what? Trusting in Him. Now we see in Scripture the environment of spiritual love. The essence of spiritual love in you. How did He get there? You relax and relied on the Holy Spirit. And I hope to take you through every one of the 16 impacts and show you. I don't know what this is going to look like. Now we have some idea what not boasting looks like. Some idea. We have some idea of what arrogance looks like. But do we have an idea of what not being arrogant looks like? What does it look like if there is no arrogance? Is it false humility with your head bowed low and your shoulders bent over? What is it like with no arrogance? See? What's that like? I don't really know. The Holy Spirit knows. I'll let Him do it. I'll let Him do it, not me. See? That's what I'm going to do. So, you just relax and rely on the Holy Spirit. You desire the comfort an impact that comes from spiritual love, then we must see that we have all that is necessary to have it. You have everything necessary. You have faith inside of you. God has given to all of us faith. Spiritual love is as easy as faith. Spiritual love is as easy as faith. Spiritual love is as close as your own soul. By faith we receive all benefits of the environment of spiritual love. Now, what is the object of faith? What's the object of faith? Again, let's get the pattern from the cross of our salvation. The gospel of the person and work of Christ on the cross. This faith activated divine power of the Holy Spirit to appropriate the work of Christ to anyone who believes. Believe in Jesus Christ, God appropriates the work of Christ, and you're saved, resulting in eternal life, resulting in the imputation of perfect righteousness, resulting in justification, resulting in forgiveness. Now, what about spiritual love? What about loving as Christ loved? Since the Holy Spirit is the cause of spiritual love, since faith is the means of this love, the object of our faith is the Holy Spirit. First object of our faith was the sending of His Son. He sent His Son to get us into the plan. He sent His Spirit for spirituality, to live this life. And people, it's going to be no different in the millennium. This is God's system. Faith begins in a person of the Godhead. Don't ever forget that. It's not faith in what I do. If I do this, then God will do such. This is what a lot of people think about faith. If I confess my sins, I believe God will restore me, therefore I do by faith. No, that's not the faith God is looking for. If I just trust Him, He will restore me. Oh, you can't do that. I've been told you can't do that. I did that for salvation, didn't I? Well, yeah, but that was different. What's different about it? What's different about it? Here I was carnal, positionally. Here I'm carnal, experientially. What's the difference? No difference. All I could do here was faith. All I could do here is faith. No difference. God's system is simple, easy, and consistent. When different people tell you to believe in the Bible, believe in Bible doctrine. What do they mean? They mean their doctrine. They mean the doctrine they teach. What do we mean, believe in Bible doctrine? See, this requires more. So even if we find ourselves trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us the truth of the gospel, of the Bible, the truth of the gospel. Some people say the gospel's works. Got to be born again. Got to be baptized. Got to do this and that. Other people say you got to do this. Got to do that. How do I know what the truth is and all of this stuff? Okay? Well, first of all, when you ask that question, how do I know what is truth? That assumes that you believe there is truth. There is truth. Truth exists. Now, how could I know that truth? From the Word of God. So I have to go to the Word of God and find out the truth that's in the Word of God. God's not talking about blind faith, people. But we are to trust the Holy Spirit to teach us, illuminate for us the truth of Scripture. It's what I'm teaching you, the truth about spiritual love. It's the way I see it, but is that truth? You have to examine for yourself. Every one of you have the Holy Spirit in you. You have to decide for yourself, well, wait a minute, you know, I don't believe what he's saying. I think you've got to work for it. I think you've got to understand all of the 16 impacts and then affect them in your own life. See, you've got to make up your own mind about the truth of Scripture. See, this is the whole point. Spiritual love is not blind. Spiritual love is not blind love. Songs like Love is Blind and all of that makes beautiful romance, but not truth. Romantic love may be blind, but not spiritual love. Spiritual love, your eyes are wide open. Spiritual love is not blind, means that spiritual love is faith. And not blind faith, but faith in the person of the Godhead. It is God, the Holy Spirit, I am trusting to produce this love. Trusting God. I trust in God, the Son, for salvation. I trust God, the Holy Spirit, for spirituality and spiritual love, to live my Christian life. See? It's not mysticism. It's very simple, and it's very truth. Very much in the truth. Okay, getting ready for next Sunday. This is why we have the declaration of God, so that we know what we believe in the Scriptures. The first object of faith to love as Christ loved. Secondly, faith to love as the Word of God declares. Third, person of this love is Jesus Christ. The source of this love is the Holy Spirit. The means of this love is the means of faith, by faith. All this will glorify Jesus Christ to produce the love that He loved. And people, I don't know about you, that is amazing. That you and I can love exactly as the Son of God loved in His humanity. I'm not sure if I could go to the cross for the rotten world. Let me assure you, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can. You can. You can love just as He loved. See? This is the love that you and I have. To me, this is astounding every time I study it. Teaching something that Jesus Christ did in His life on earth, and we can imitate it. We can be just like Him and love just like He loved. Now, faith is not the goal. I would like to think the momentum of my teaching in the past 20 years, since 1995, has been spiritual love. But if you look at it, you think, oh, it's faith. Faith is the way of accessing this love. But our objective is spiritual love. Our goal is to love as Christ loved. Our goal is to love one another. Husband, wife, parent, children, family, friends, people at church, people at work, people in life. See? That's our objective. To love as Christ loved these people. See, what is our part for this goal? Faith. That is our part, is simple faith. Okay. Next Sunday, new commandment. 1 John 13:34-35, we studied it. Summarizing it, to love one another as I've loved you. New in origin. There's never been love of Christ on earth before Christ got here. Never. It's new. As we like to say in the South, it's brand spanking new. Came with Jesus Christ. See? The old way is to love your neighbors, you love yourself. It's new as to the recipient. You've got to be a new spiritual creature, not just a member of the nation of Israel. You've got to be a new spiritual creature in Christ. It's new in direction toward one another. That's toward another believer. Well, aren't we supposed to love unbelievers? People, it's a piece of cake to love an unbeliever. It's easy. I don't expect anything from an unbeliever. But boy, I expect believers to act a certain way, and when they don't, I'm not going to love them. But that's the new commandment. Love one another as Christ loved. So therefore, the new direction toward a believer in Christ. New foundation, as I have loved you. The old foundation, as you love yourself. See? As you love yourself. New foundation, as I have loved you. And then new and impact. Historical impact, drawing attention to the person of Jesus Christ. So that's the love we're going to start looking at, or continue looking at, in 1 Corinthians 13 next Sunday morning. So let's close in a word of prayer, and you just hang loose for 1 week, and we'll pick it up right here, right then. Heavenly Father, we stand amazed that you would even desire that the love of your Son would come through us. But you do. And Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you provide everything necessary. You've given to us faith, indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit in us, Father, to produce this love. Father, I pray your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen.